Please rise for the gospel. The gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice comes for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be drawn out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. There are many reasons that I'm excited that I've moved to New England, but one of them, which I won't take advantage of this year, but I plan to in subsequent years, is to take part in the process of sugaring. The idea of going to a place where there are, unless somebody has one, if you know someplace close, let me know. I might do it this year, I could. But I wanna go and tap into the maple trees and get the maple sap. Now, please forgive me because I suspect there are many of you who have done this and know way more about it than I do. But as I understand it, what happens is that when spring comes, the trees begin to thaw and the sap within the tree begins to move about and it builds pressure within the tree. And wherever there is a fresh wound in the tree, the sap begins to come out. And so the people who go and draw the sap and do the sugaring tap into the tree, and they get all of that really rich, wonderful maple sap. And then they boil this clear sap, and they boil it until all of the water is boiled away, and what you have that remains is that wonderful sweetness that we associate with pure maple syrup. An incredible process of taking that which was in the tree and turning it into something that had built up in the tree, but because something sweet for us. Becomes, I think, a metaphor for understanding what Jesus was getting at and what he was doing in the text for today. Because in Jesus' life, a lot had built up. He was entering Jerusalem. And as he was entering Jerusalem, it was for his final time, and he knew that. He knew that he had done enough to really anger the powers that be, and they wanted to take his life. after he had raised Lazarus from the dead, which happens immediately before the lesson we read, they decided, enough already. We're going to kill this man. And Jesus knew this was going on. It was building up within him. And eventually, it could come oozing out. And what Jesus could have done, as a matter of fact, he even talks about it in the lesson. He could have said, okay, God, I'm in. I did everything you wanted, but I want out now. I don't want to go forward with this crucifixion. I don't want to go forward with this pain. I want out now. Or he could have said, I'm going to do this my way. I'm not going to, you know, go through this death thing quietly. No one's going to be left standing. And he could have. We forget that Jesus was human. And he easily could have gone into his death in a completely different way. Angry, lashing out, hurting people. He still probably would have died, but he would have gotten in some licks. But instead, what he shows really becomes a model for passive resistance. As he faces death, he doesn't remain completely quiet. He tells Pilate, "You don't have any control of me." He remains true to who he is as he walks through the whole process. And on the cross, he could have been yelling at people, but instead, he looks at the people on the sides and tells them, "You are invited into paradise." He says to one of them, "You will be with me in paradise." He sees his mother with the Apostle John and makes sure she's taken care of. And he forgives everyone because they don't know what they're doing. Throughout this whole process, Jesus chooses to glorify God. In the process, there is a distillation of self as he lets go of his self and allows himself to be used from God, to take that which was built up within him and allows it to become sweetness, which eventually becomes the sweetness that turns the cross, an instrument of torture, into something that is truly glorified. So he gives us life through death. Just like the maple sap becomes maple syrup. In our lives, we have a choice to follow the Jesus way. To be like a maple tree, giving up our sap and allowing it to become something sweet. Or we can be like a pine tree, where it just oozes out. You know, you go by pine trees sometimes, and when you walk by them, they have that stickiness, and you go by it, and it's like, ugh, and then you can't get it off you, and then you're just like, it just sticks to everything. We all have stuff in our lives that builds up within us. We all have pain and brokenness. We all have sap. But what do we do with it? Do we offer it up? Distill away, even if it's through fire, our own self and find sweetness? Or do we just become sticky and yucky so that people want to avoid us? In life, we see from Jesus taking that brokenness and using it to be glorified. A grain of wheat who willingly gives itself so that it can produce so much more. In society recently, we have seen a couple of really powerful examples of people and groups who have taken something really terrible and awful and turned it into points of grace, points of hope in the midst of brokenness. I think of the Me Too movement. People who have been victims of sexual harassment, sexual assault. For so many years, it just lay under the surface. It was acceptable because no one said anything. and individuals who were often victims became like pines, sticky, prickly, angry, keeping people away. For every good reason, yes, but nonetheless containing it. But in the last several months, they're turning it into maple syrup, taking what came out and saying, no, we're not going to be silent anymore, and this isn't okay. Everyone should be treated with dignity and respect. People should not be put down because of their gender. The opportunity to speak up and take something that's broken and provide a source of strength and hope. You see it as well with the Never Again movement in the aftermath of the Parkland shooting. And here in Connecticut, we know it well as the parents of Newtown, the Sandy Hook parents, who worked together to make constructive change, who made constructive change in this state. Gun deaths have been, by murder, have been cut in half because of the efforts largely of the Newtown families. And now we see it as a national movement of people saying school safety matters. Children should not be afraid to go to school and be afraid of being gunned down. These kids are taking brokenness and pain, the kind of thing that should not be happening in a school, and turning it into a power of good, not becoming like pines and sticky and repelling, but rather distilling themselves away, some of them going through fire, through challenges that 17 and 16-year-old kids shouldn't face, but willing to literally give themselves up to provide some sweetness for a world that needs it. Now, it's important to understand with Jesus and with most of our pain that it wasn't God's idea for Jesus to die. Jesus came to provide life, and we could not accept that. And so we turned on him. And so Jesus was willing to offer himself up. He was willing to give himself up, just like offering what was within him to distill it. And in our lives as well, so much of the pain and hurt we experience is not the result of our doing. Yes, there are things that happen to us because of what we have done. But so much just happens because we live in a world of chance and brokenness. And in the face of that, we are offered up choices and decisions. Are we going to get caught up in ourselves and throw ourselves our own little pity party? Feel sorry for ourselves and list every injustice that the world has done against us and all the reasons that we have reasons to be angry? It's kind of what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today when he said, should I say this? Should I say I'm not ready for this? No. He shows us that that's not what it's about. And for us too, we can come up with our litany of injustices and wrongs, and in the process we become like the pine with the sap that oozes down us and makes us sticky, and no one wants to get close because we've taken everything that's inside and let it drip on the outside and keep us from being contained. Or, with that brokenness and that pain, we can offer it up. We can give, we can love, and we can serve and distill through the fire, through the challenges, offer it up, and find sweetness even in the midst of the wounds and the brokenness. See it happen so often. Someone who has watched a parent or a spouse go through dementia and Alzheimer's and had to deal with the stress of either being in a sandwich generation, caring for a parent and a child, or watching a spouse who's slowly slipping away. And rather than getting wound up in that, gets engaged in a group with others, reaches out and connects and provides support. support for caregivers. You see it with adult children of alcoholics who, rather than resenting and becoming angry for everything that they didn't have, becoming part of a big brother or big sister program, reaching out to someone who may not have that kind of figure in their life and showing care and concern. You see it when someone goes through a divorce and experiences that pain and brokenness, and then learns in time, after grief — all of these things require grief and work, it's not like there's a magic wand that's waved. I mean, if Jesus had to deal with it, how do we expect ourselves not to? But someone after a divorce is able then to reach out to someone else going through that struggle. It's a process of offering ourselves up. It's a process of not making it my story, feeling sorry for myself, but opening it up and caring for and loving others. It's when the grain of wheat dies. We die to ourselves and make it not just about ourselves and how we were wronged or how it didn't work for us or how this wasn't fair. When we die to ourselves, we're able to bring forth life. We're able to take what could be bitter and become sweetness. There's no better place we can see this in our lives than on the cross. When we look to the cross, which we venerate, that's an instrument of torture. We've gotten so used to it, right? But if we have an electric chair up here, different picture. God took what should be the most broken and turned it into something that we see as a gateway to life. And that's what God can do to us as well. When we let the fires burn away ourselves and take the bitterness and find the sweet. The good news is that Jesus has already done it for each one of us. And when we take it and offer it up to others, we are simply following in the way of the cross, the way to take the wounds of the world and turn it into sweetness for others. Amen.